Well, friends, we turn again to that part of God's Word which we read, the Gospel according to John and chapter 14. And we come once more for the third time in this series of sermons to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I know that some of you have been away a little over the past few weeks, so you may have missed the fact that for the last three Sabbaths that we've been together, we've been looking at this particular verse. The first week we looked at the first part of the verse where Jesus says, I am the way. And we saw three things that morning. We saw, first of all, that Jesus shows us the way. We saw, secondly, that Jesus made the way. And we saw, thirdly, that Jesus is the way. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to life. He is the way to peace. He is the way to heaven. Then the next week we looked at the next phrase, I am the truth. And we saw that this was an astonishing statement. We saw that it was an unmistakable statement. We saw that it was a challenging, helpful, and reassuring statement. And we come this morning to the last of the three. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now, I want to come straight into it without any other time spent trying to introduce it. Now, we all know what life is. If I were to ask you what life means, you might give me different answers and different responses. But we all know what life is. And maybe you're already beginning to work out in your own mind what the Lord meant by these words. But if we're going to really understand and appreciate this verse, we have to begin further back. We have to speak, first of all, not about life, but about the loss of life. That's where we have to begin, the loss of life. And only as we understand and appreciate that, will we begin to understand and appreciate what the Lord means when he says, I am the life. So we begin by speaking about the loss of life. Now, as you all know very well, death didn't come into this world at the time of creation. We've made this point so often. Didn't come into the world at the time of creation. It came when sin came in. Death came in as a result of sin. And it wasn't the Lord who brought sin into his world. It was us. We brought sin in. We unleashed all its horrors and all its terrors. And one of these is death. Now death meant loss. Death means loss. And in fact, it means the loss of three things. Now, children, you listen well because you'll be able to understand what I mean when I come to this. It means the loss of three things. First of all, it meant the loss of natural life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean simply this, that when sin came in, death came into this world. There had never been death in the world before. We have Adam and Eve created and they're in a state of innocence. There's no death. They didn't die. They didn't expect to die. And nothing around them had ever died. Now we don't know, of course, how long that state of innocence lasted. But the point is, it didn't last. It came to an end. And Adam and Eve were changed, and the world was changed. And plants began to die. And animals began to die, and they themselves died. From dust they came, and now to the dust they would return again. So, that's the first loss. The loss of natural life, people die. And we hear of people die. I had a funeral yesterday in Waternish. The loss of natural life. But secondly, and even more seriously, when sin came, it meant the loss of spiritual life. Not just the loss of natural life, but spiritual life. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Adam and Eve didn't literally, physically die that day when they sinned. They didn't fall down dead in the garden. If they had, what would have happened? Think about it. Think about it, young people. If they had, what would have happened? Well, that would have been the end of the human race, wouldn't it? They didn't die literally that day. Physical death wasn't instant. Although the process began that day. And eventually, years later, they did die. But spiritually that day, they died. Spiritually, they died that day. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And maybe you're saying to me, what do you mean spiritually they died? What does that mean in real terms? Well, it means this in real terms. Their faith died. They had, up to this point, they had trusted in God. Implicitly and absolutely. But that died. Their love to the Lord died. It was all gone. You would search in vain for real faith and love in the heart of Adam and Eve. They died spiritually. Now that didn't mean that they started to disbelieve in the existence of God. Of course they didn't. They didn't become agnostics or atheists. Oh no, they knew too much. They had seen God. You couldn't fool them into thinking there was no God. They believed in God. They continued to believe in God. But they didn't trust God. They didn't love God, and neither do their descendants unless they are changed by the work and the power of God's Spirit. That's what we mean by spiritual death. So sin came. What's the result? The loss of natural life, the loss of spiritual life, the third one, the loss of eternal life. Instead of now having an eternity of hope and bliss ahead of them, now sinners are condemned as lawbreakers, and the door of heaven is shut against us. Because it says, nothing that defiles, or is sinful, or is unclean, can enter into the presence of a holy God. So it's a threefold death loss, isn't it? The loss of natural, spiritual, and eternal life. Children, you'll remember the three, won't you? But now, having reminded ourselves of these solemn facts, we're ready to come to look at the second thing. We've seen the loss of life. Secondly, we have the source of new life. The source of new life. When Adam and Eve sinned, when sin came into the world, the Lord in heaven didn't wash his hands of the whole thing. He didn't say, well, leave them. Leave them in death, eternal, spiritual, and natural. Let them be. Let them go their own way. Not at all. Because what we find in God's word is the promise of new life. And where are we going to get this new life? Is it up to us to create it? Well, we wouldn't know where to begin, would we? We wouldn't know how to begin. We can't make anything, really. We can use the things around us in the world, and we can use them to make things. We can't really make new life. Where's it going to come from? Verse 6. I am the way. I am the truth. And all friends, says the Lord, I am the life. I am the answer, he says. I'm the source of new life. I'm the antidote to the disaster of Eden. I am the life. Now let's go over these three things we had earlier again and see how Jesus gives life. First of all, we had the loss of natural life, didn't we? Well, he is also the source of natural life. As the eternal, living Son of God, all things were made by him. In him we live and move and have our being. He has kept the human race alive up to this point. He could have abandoned them to death and extinction. You know, there are some things that have become extinct, aren't there? Not everything that was created at the first has remained to the present. All these dinosaurs and all the rest of them, they have largely gone. Many other things become extinct as well. But mankind hasn't become extinct. The Lord has kept this race. Oh, at times their numbers got very small. At one point there was only 8 of them, the days of Noah. But man, the Lord has kept it. The source of natural life comes from him. But more importantly than that, he is the source of new spiritual life. I showed you a moment ago that we lost spiritual life when sin came. Lost faith, lost love, it's all dead. But the Christian has new spiritual life. They begin to trust the Lord, don't they? They begin to love the Lord. They want to follow the Lord. They want to obey the Lord. Where do these desires come from? Did they come from the factory of the human heart? No, not a bit of it. The Bible tells us that it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord, by his Spirit, has brought new spiritual life into the heart and soul of his people. I am the life. I am the source of natural life. I am the source of new spiritual life. And I am the source of eternal life. I said earlier that heaven was closed against us as sinners. Well, how are we going to unlock the door? Are we going to earn our way? Are we going to try to do enough good things to balance out our bad things in the hope that the door will open? No, not at all. We don't earn it. Christ bought it. He bought the right to heaven for his people. He bore the penalty of their sin. And what does he do? Does he sell it to us? Oh, not a bit of it. He's too gracious a savior for that. He gives it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, he gives it to those who come to him. I am the life, he says. Oh, it's his work to slay death. And he did it at Calvary. He purchased by his sufferings eternal life. As his people's substitute, he bought the right to life and heaven for them. So we've seen the loss of life, natural, spiritual, eternal. We've seen that Jesus is the source of life, new life. There's one other issue I want to explore with you this morning. What sort of source is Jesus? Is he a good source or a bad source? Is he a reliable source or an unreliable source? This source of life. Three things. First of all, he is the best source. He is the best source. Just look at this gospel itself. In chapter 6, we're told that he has the words of life. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? He has the words of life. In chapter 8, we're told that he has the light of life. In chapter 10, we're told that he has come that we might have life. In chapter 11, he calls himself the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I could go on. But you get the point, don't you? He is the best source of life. No one has life as he has life. Even if another source of life could be found, and it can't anyway, but even if it could, we can be sure that he would still be the best source of spiritual life, the best source of eternal life. He is the best source. But we have to go a step further than that, because secondly, he is the only source. He's the best source, and he's the only source. See the end of the verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other source of life. So if people say, can I have eternal life, access to heaven, peace with God, by my good works? Now the answer is no. By earnest, serious endeavor, the answer is no. By the law, the answer is no. He is the only source of life. And that says to us, don't waste your time looking elsewhere, searching elsewhere, trying other things. You want life? You must come to him. Because he has it, and he has it alone. He appears to John in Revelation, in a glorious vision, and John falls down on his feet in a faint, and he picks him up. John, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death, and the key of life, and the key that unlocks it all is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ and Christ alone is Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. I'm not one of a number of doors. I am the door. What sort of source is he? He's the best source. What sort of source is he? He's the only source. What sort of source is he? Thirdly, he's a free source. A free source. Now imagine, children, you imagine this for a moment. It'll never happen, but imagine for a moment that a scientist in a laboratory somewhere discovered the secret of eternal life. He managed to mix things together, and he discovered eternal life, and he got it in a bottle. And he had a bottle, and there's a label on the bottle, eternal life. Two questions. First of all, would he give that away free? Well, I think it's very unlikely, isn't it? I think that man would think to himself, I'll be the richest person on the planet. If I'm able to sell this secret, I'll be richer and more powerful than anyone. And you know, I think that sort of discovery will never be made because it's impossible. But that sort of discovery would have the effect of corrupting that person. Even if that person had begun as the nicest and kindest of people, I think it would corrupt him. And he would begin to think, well, what power I have. I can hold governments to ransom with this. I can demand sums of money. I can become the most glorious person in the world. Will you give it away freely? I don't think so. But that's up for debate. But what isn't up for debate is this. The Lord gives it freely. He gives it freely. Come buy, without money and without price, the milk and the honey of the gospel. Life for free. But here's another question about our scientist. Would he give it to his enemies? Would he give it to his enemies? Those who scorned him. Those who'd abused him. All their life there were people who had been bad to this scientist. Who had worked against him. Who had spoken against him. Who had spoken against him everywhere and however they could. Who never had a good word to say about him. Who had spoiled everything he had. Do you think he's going to give it to them? Well, I think it's unlikely, isn't it? More likely, I think, that he would take pleasure in refusing them. That he would have them, and he would say to them, look, here it is. Eternal life, and you know what? You're not going to get it. You'll be sorry now. You can think the way in which he might torment and torture people with that. What does the Lord do? Oh, he gives it to his enemies. He gives it to his enemies. To those who all their days were against him. Who ignored him and disregarded him and disobeyed him. He gives it to them. And he gives it freely. I am the life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is real life, friend. The world says, and teenagers, oh, maybe you're saying, why are you pointing us out again? I'm doing it because you're at a crossroads. And I've been where you are, and so have the others. The world says, I'll give you life. I'll give you a good life. If you dedicate and devote yourself to me. But you know, all the world can do is maybe make your life a little bit better. But I tell you, it'll disappoint you. But even if it makes life a bit sweeter, it can't give you spiritual life. And it certainly can't give you eternal life. Ah, but you say, I'm not a teenager. What about me? Well, maybe you're discovering that this world can't give you life. Maybe you've been thoroughly disabused of that notion. And you're saying, what's it all about? Where can I get life? What does life mean? Is there more to life than this? The ongoing grind, Monday to Monday, and then another week and another month and another year. Is there more to it than living and dying? Yes, there is, says Jesus. I can give spiritual life, new life, and I can give eternal life. And I can take your life and transform it by the power and work of the Spirit. And you ask the Lord's people, and they will all tell you, the Lord came and he came with life. New spiritual life, new desires, new loves, new satisfactions, new blessings. And when all of this is over in this world, I'm looking forward to eternal life. What did we begin singing today? The Lord's my shepherd. Oh, that's life. And in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be. We're going to sing in a moment in Psalm 36. Because of life, the fountain pure remains where? Remains alone with thee. And in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see. Oh yes, indeed. And that ends this short series of sermons. I am the way, you mark it. I am the truth, you remember it. I am the life. Remember the poem I gave you a week or two ago. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I set before you life and death. Choose life.